Star Hit Parade, starring Frank Sinatra.
Who knows what evil lurks in the hearts of men?
And now, smile a while with Lorenzo Jones and his wife, Belle.
Here's the Manhattan merry-go-round that brings you the bright side of life, that whirls you in music to all the big night spots of New York town, to hear the top songs of the week sung so clearly you can understand every word and sing them yourself.
This is the Golden Age of Radio. I'm Dick Bertel, and tonight we'll take you on another audio excursion back to radio's formative years. You'll hear the programs that made the era golden, and meet people who made those broadcasts a reality.
The Golden Age of Radio is brought to you by WTIC and Farmers and Mechanics Savings Bank and their Cromwell Savings Bank Division. Hometown friends serving your best banking interests in every way. Now here's your host, Dick Bertel.
Welcome once again to our program, which is on at a new time. My co-host is, of course, Ed Corcoran, sitting across the mic from me, and Ed, it's nice to be playing the show on a Sunday afternoon.
It certainly is, Dick, because I think I've always wanted this slot because Sunday afternoon traditionally was a great afternoon for radio listeners. That's The Shadow was on, and many other shows. The Shadow being the most famous, Boston Blackie was on, many others. So I think we're really in a spot now where we can be even more comfortable than we were in the evening.
You know, we have a guest who is certainly no stranger to this program. Jay Hickerson is with us today, and Jay has not only appeared on the program in the past, but Jay, I think you've provided a lot of material for us when we've found ourselves in a bind from time to time to fill a request, haven't you?
Well, I've been glad to help out. I have about 5,300 programs, and once in a while I have something you need that Ed doesn't.
Jay is with us for several reasons, not the least of which is the fact that the 6th Annual Old Time Radio Convention is going to be held this coming Saturday, October 30th, at the Holiday Inn in Meriden, right off I-91. And you have a very impressive lineup of guests, Jay.
We have about six people coming who are very active in old-time radio. Jack McCarthy, who played the Green Hornet. Jackson Beck, who did several things. He was the Cisco Kid for many years and the announcer on Superman. Don McLaughlin, who starred in Counter Spy, Chaplain Jim, and some others. Raymond Edward Johnson, who people remember as the host of Inner Sanctum in its early days and was on hundreds of programs. We have a sound effects man, Hamilton O'Hara, who is sound effects man for many programs, especially at CBS, and Evie Juster, who appeared on many radio programs, including Let's Pretend and Amanda of Honeymoon Hill.
Ed, we haven't had all of them on, but we've had most of them on at one time or another, haven't we?
Yes, and there's a couple of probables, too. As you know, Dick, people in showbiz are subject to all sorts of pressures for time, but we have invited Kenny Delmar, who was a guest, famous for his characterization of Senator Claghorn, and Larry Haynes, who is well-known on TV today for Search for Tomorrow, but also one of the great radio actors, particularly playing heavy roles. So we expect a very, very impressive list before we get through.
Now, this is open to the public, Jay.
It's open to the general public, yes.
You don't have to be a member of any particular club or anything of that nature.
No, if you just want to have an afternoon or evening of a good time, looking at books, there'll be at least 11 dealer tables there, people selling all kinds of things related to old-time radio, and there'll be all kinds of things going on for everybody.
Well, this brings me to the whole topic of old-time radio and its hobby. It really has grown over the years. Ed, I remember when we first got together about 10 years ago, you were one of, 40 collectors in the country?
Yeah, about that. There wasn't very many at all at that time. Of course, I think at that time, recorders were very expensive. And it used to cost $200 or $300 for any kind of a machine, and now they're so inexpensive that it makes it available to everybody. Even kids in grammar school can afford to be collectors today. Nick.
And do you find, Jay, that there are kids in grammar school, so to speak, who are collecting?
Well, I certainly do. I don't know whether they're collecting or not.
They're listening, however.
They are listening because I've given lectures for at least. Three grammar schools from 4th to 6th grade, and one, I'm going back again. I've been there three times before. They're really interested, and of course there are shows on today, so they get to listen to them, as well as some records they buy and some rebroadcasts. Oh,
Jay,
yes, I find them very interesting.
How long have you been involved in this hobby?
Since 1970.
How did you get started?
Well, I'm a musician, was always interested in theme music. I used to play theme music at parties and things, and I got into theme music of television shows and movie themes and radio shows. And somebody came up once and said he knew somebody that had, about 100 programs. And that's how I got started. He very nicely, I was able to get the programs from him, and since then they've grown to 5,300 programs.
Well, we indicated that there were about 40 collectors in the entire country when you started, Ed. How many are there now? Do we have any idea?
Well, I think Jay might know better, Jay, with his newsletter and everything.
Well, I have a newsletter which goes out every month, and I have about 325 subscribers, but I'm quite sure that the people collecting radio programs, I'm sure that it's at least double. I'm sure it's close to 1,000. These are people that actively either buy programs or trade them with other collectors.
You know, whenever people ask me about this program, they say, where does the material come from? And after I give Ed Corcoran his credit, I must confess that it's really a question I can't answer adequately. And maybe today we can set that question aside. We can finally answer it. Now, Ed, I know that when you got started, you were still recording programs off the air. You were doing X-1 and so forth. You were taping them off the air with a home tape recorder.
That's right, Dick, yes.
So that's the way the collection began. But now we're coming up with material that goes back to the 30s and, in rare instances, to the 20s. Jay, where does it all come from?
Well, these programs were recorded at the time they were being broadcast on large transcription discs, starting in the 30s, in the very early 30s. Now, when studios moved, they had no place for these, so I would say at least 99% of these transcription discs were thrown away or lost. But a good handful ended up, they're still with studios, they ended up with engineers. People interested in them have been able to get a hold of these discs and transfer them onto tape. And it's these taped copies that people trade around the country.
So you would say then that the source in many cases is the technician who might be at a radio station that is moving mm-hmm. to a new studio and wants to discard all of this old material, that sort of thing.
And many actors, unfortunately, we have to wait for some of them to die, but some, you know, when they do, people are able to get a hold of their collections. And things always turn up. Some people get large transcriptions, get large collections of these discs and hold on to them. And then at some point they gradually let them out to the general public.
And I would assume that they are reluctant in some cases if they have something rare to let somebody make a copy of it.
Yeah, Dick, when I was out in Hollywood, you know, I stopped at Pacific Pioneer Broadcasters, and they claim they have the largest collection of transcriptions in the world. And they retrieve these from all of the Hollywood studios, NBC, CBS, ABC. And within the club, they specify you can only listen to them. You know, you can come into the club and listen to them, but you can't make copies, you can't take them out. So even though they're available there, they aren't releasing them to the public. They are purely for educational purposes.
Well, we'll turn to one of those old shows in just a moment, because the program that I have in mind features one of the stars who will be appearing at your old-time radio convention this coming Saturday at the Holiday Inn in Meriden. I'm talking about Don McLaughlin. But first, this message.
Now that fall has arrived, the youngsters are back in school, and family life is returning to more indoor activities, you may have decided that you need more room in your home, perhaps a family room. If that's the case, stop in and get complete information on home improvement loans from the folks at Farmers and Mechanics Savings Bank or Cromwell Savings Bank Division. Cromwell Savings Bank is located at the corner of Main and West Street and at the Cromwell Plaza office next to Kmart in Cromwell, with convenient Saturday hours, 9 to noon. And Farmers and Mechanics Savings Bank has 4 offices to serve you, 2 in Middletown and branches in Montville and Colchester. With the exception of the Middletown office on Main Street, they're also open Saturdays from 9 to noon. Stop in soon. Let them show you how a home improvement loan may take the cramp out of your family's lifestyle. Members FDIC and Equal Housing Lender. Once again, Dick Bertel.
Our guest tonight is Jay Hickerson. Jay is a collector. He is the publisher of Hello Again, the leading monthly newsletter for collectors of old-time radio shows. You have about 350 subscribers, as I understand it, Jay. Am I right?
It's about that.
And you have a major convention which is taking place this coming Saturday in Meriden. This is the 6th annual old-time radio convention, at which a number of radio stars are going to appear, one of whom happens to be Don McLaughlin, who starred in numerous shows, Road of Life, Chaplain Jim, and the one that is probably most familiar to people, Counter Spy. Where does Don live?
Don lives in New York, but he divides his time between New York and, I believe, Goshen, where his daughter lives.
Now, how did you contact him?
By phone. We were able to get his phone number, and he was called, and he very graciously agreed to come out and meet the people and participate in the program.
When you talk with these people, do they have any particular feelings about old-time radio? Don, of course, is very active today. His career is perhaps brighter today and more dramatic today than it ever was.
Yes, he's in the television program As the World Turns. Most performers are very helpful. They're very anxious to participate in something like this. A few of them don't want to remember the past. They just want to live in the present, so they're turned off by these. But in most cases, the ones we ask are very, very anxious, and some of the guests coming have been to us before.
Yeah.
They've been to previous conventions.
Yeah. And when they're there, do they mix with people? Do they
talk? Oh, yes, they're very friendly. Yes. Our first convention had Brett Morrison, who was the Shadow. He was very eager to sign autographs and to talk to people and just sit down and relax.
Yeah.
Raymond Edward Johnson has been to all of our conventions except the first one, and they're all very, very gracious. No, they enjoy talking with people.
Well, I promised earlier that we would hear Don McLaughlin in Counter Spy, and can you tell me, Ed, just a bit about this particular episode?
Well, it's one that I got from Don personally, one of his favorite shows, and I might add this, Dick, that for the first, you know, we have had complaints in the past that when we play these shows, we leave people hanging in midair. You know, they hear the opening, and they don't know what happens, but tonight, it's a little bit different this afternoon because if you come to the convention, you can ask Don McLaughlin what happens because he can tell you personally how the show came out. So we'll play the opening half and then come to the convention and you can find out how the show finished.
Counter Spy! Washington calling David Harding, Counter Spy. Washington calling David Harding, Counter Spy.
Harding, Counter Spy, calling Washington.
United States Counter Spy, especially appointed to investigate and combat the enemies of our country, both at home and abroad.
Tonight, the case of the Mile High Murders, a thrilling counter-spy report to the American people. And now to Counter-Spy.
M5 Havana calling Easy George Abel Nan. M5 Havana calling Easy George Abel Nan.
This is Easy George Abel Nan. Come in, M5. Come in.
Important emergency instructions. Repeat, emergency. I'm sending boat out to rendezvous point 17, William Richard, which you will pass over in a few minutes. At point 17, William Richard, you will bail out of plane.
M5. What about the merchandise?
Disregard merchandise.
Now, look, M5, I can't do a thing like that. After all, the cargo...
Cargo must be sacrificed to preserve safety of all concerned.
But maybe we can work it out another way. I don't want to have anything to do with...
This is in order. And final. Switch to automatic pilot for gradual dive and bail out. Did you hear me, Easy George?
Switching to automatic pilot for gradual dive.
That's better.
We'll bail out, M5. This is Easy George Abel Nan signing off.
Quiet down. Quiet down. I've got bad news for you.
I can't smuggle you into the state. Now, you do just as I say or I'll have to use this gun. All eight of you, move back in the ship. Back toward the tail. That's it, right there. Now, stay right there till I pull this lever. Parachuting out the bomb bay.
Please, have mercy.
Sorry, honest, but I can't help you.
We do not have to be afraid to die, my friend. But if we were as wicked as these men, we should be afraid to leave.
I said I was sorry. That's all I can say.
He jumped out of the plane. We will be killed. We will all die.
We must pray. Please pray. Ave Maria, gratia plena. Dominia tecum. Benedictus.
Gregor, need to keep those birds of yours quiet, especially that stinking vulture.
Since your return to Cuba from your aborted mission, you've not been yourself, Egan.
Those birds screeching that way make me think of those poor refugees in a plane, pleading for their lives. Rosa.
Si, senor Egan.
Give me another drink.
Si, senor.
And hurry up, you fat sow. Egan is anxious to drown his conscience in my best wine.
Ah, it's easy for you to talk, Gregor, sitting here in your patio and listening to your crazy birds. You didn't have to dump eight helpless people into the ocean. Sure, you can sleep at night.
Here is your drink, Senor Egan.
Thanks, Rosa.
Egan, in our business, sometimes drastic steps are necessary for self-preservation.
Talk is cheap. You didn't see their faces.
Perhaps. But I see the logic in disposing of them. If you had landed at the field in Florida with that shipment of aliens, you would have been picked up by the police. Would you have preferred that? Of course you would.
All right, but how did the police know about the trip?
Someone dropped a hint to them. Tell him, Ross.
At El Montero Cafe, I was told the flight was spotted.
Was anything said about me, Rosa?
No, senor.
By the way, Egan.
Yes?
Rosa also heard something else at the Montero Cafe. Something about you. Rosa.
I heard, Senor Egan, that when you had delivered some of Senor Gregor's clients safely to the United States, you took money from them. Blackmail money.
That's a rotten lie.
Of course, it's only a rumor.
I don't care what it is. It's still a lie.
It had better be, Egan. For your sake.
You can't frighten me, Gregor, because I've got nothing to hide. I've always been on the up and up with you.
Very well, Egan. Now let's get back to business. We will continue our weekly passenger run from Cuba to Florida.
How can we? The cops are on to us.
We will no longer use a large plane. Temporarily, we will reduce our activities by using the small 5-passenger plane. And from now on, you will not land at our isolated field in Florida. Instead, we will avail ourselves of desolate stretches of beach along the coast.
Nothing's going to stand in the way of your making a fortune. Not even my neck, huh, Gregor?
Nothing, Egan. And least of all, your neck.
Operator, this is Captain Kincaid of the Miami Office Immigration Service. I want to put in a person-to-person call to Mr. David Harding, Chief of the Counter-Spies in Washington.
Hello, Captain Kincaid. This is Harding.
Oh, Mr. Harding. On that matter we discussed last week when I was in Washington, an emergency has arisen. We'd appreciate having counter-spy cooperation in this case now.
Anything at all, Captain.
Can you assign one of your Miami agents?
Better than that, Captain. I'm going to give this case my personal supervision. My assistant, Harry Peters, and I will leave immediately for Miami by jet plane.
Well, Mr. Harding, this is the obsolete light army bomber I had flown over here to the Miami City airport to illustrate my theories.
Peters and I are very anxious to hear it. Please continue.
Now, this is the way I reconstruct the story. A surplus army bomber, identical with this one, left from an improvised runway outside Havana, Cuba, last Friday with 8 aliens aboard. That we're fairly sure of through a contact in Havana.
But the plane never landed here in the States.
No, Mr. Peters. We had it under spotter observation in the Caribbean and suddenly lost it. And it didn't return to its Cuban base either.
What about the aliens?
I'm just getting to that, Mr. Harding. All right, Bob. Mr. Harding, my theory is the bomb bay doors were opened like that, and the aliens were forced to jump to their deaths in the Caribbean, thousands of feet below. Mass murder.
Chief, this is about the lowest crime we've ever come across.
The absolute lowest. Well, Kincaid, I suppose the smugglers must have been tipped off that their plane was spotted and warned the pilot, maybe by radio, huh?
I figure it the same way, Mr. Harding.
It could be, Chief, but the pilot bailed out and was picked up while the aliens went down with the plane.
That's possible, Peters. That would account for the disappearance of the plane. Anyway, let's get started.
Havana, our next stop, Chief?
Havana next, Peters. With the cooperation of the Cuban police, we're starting on this alien smuggling racket by smuggling ourselves into Havana by speedboat.
Counter Spy with Don McLaughlin. Just one of many stars, actually, who will be appearing at the Old Time Radio Convention in Maryland this coming Saturday at the Holiday Inn, right off I-91. Incidentally, that convention is open to you, whether you're a collector or not. Makes no difference. And all you have to do is go. Do you need tickets in advance, or can you just arrive at the door, so to speak?
Well, you can come to the door if you're there for the afternoon. If you plan to stay for the buffet dinner and the live radio broadcast, which we plan to do, it would be wise to get your tickets beforehand so we can let the Holiday Inn know.
We'll get back to our guest, Jay Hickerson, and some of these exciting excerpts of shows that we all grew up with right after this message.
Savings is a habit, a good habit to develop, because what you save today will always come in handy tomorrow. When you open a savings account at Farmers and Mechanics Savings Bank or its Cromwell Savings Bank division, you not only get a variety of savings plans to choose from, you also get the greatest interest available by law. What's more, the passbook they give you may be used at any of their 6 conveniently located offices. Start building for a secure tomorrow with a savings account at Cromwell Savings at the corner of Main and West Street, or the Cromwell Plaza office next to Kmart in Cromwell. Farmers and Mechanics Savings Bank has 4 offices to serve you, 2 in Middletown, and branches in Montville and Colchester. Stop in soon. All offices are open Saturday from 9 to noon, except the Farmers and Mechanics Main Street office in Middletown. In addition to the convenience of one-stop banking and convenient hours, you'll also find plenty of free parking. Farmers and Mechanics Savings Bank and Cromwell Savings Bank Division are members FDIC. Stop in soon and start the good savings habit. Now back to Dick Bertel.
One of the people who will be appearing as your guest, Jay Hickerson, at the Old Time Radio Convention this Saturday is Jack McCarthy, who played the Green Hornet from 1946 to 1952. Now, obviously, Jack wasn't the original Green Hornet. The Green Hornet goes back much earlier than that, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes, the first performer was Al Hodge, I believe, and Jack McCarthy was the, I think, the third or fourth, and the last performer. No, when he stopped, it went off the air.
Now, you mentioned Al Hodge, and that brings to mind Captain Video. Am I right?
That's right, Dick, on early television.
This show actually was a counterpart, in a sense, to The Lone Ranger, wasn't it, Jay?
Yes, it was. They both came out of the same studio at WXYZ in Detroit.
And, of course, many of the actors were heard on both programs.
On both of them.
But there was a situation relationship as well, wasn't there, Ed?
I believe the name Reed is very prominent in both shows. Reed was the name of the nephew of the Lone Ranger, and I think his name was Reed, and then Brett Reed was the publisher of the Sentinel. So they apparently liked that name a great deal because it appeared in both shows.
If my memory serves me correctly, there was a very direct tie-in between the two shows theme-wise, and I may be off here just a little bit, but Britt Reed was supposedly the grandson of Dan Reed, who was the nephew of the Lone Ranger. The Lone Ranger was the hero of the early West, and the Green Hornet was the contemporary hero, again fighting crime. Again, in place of a horse named Silver, he had
Maserati
called the Black Beauty. Yeah,
that's
or whatever
right.
It was.
That's very, very good, Dick. You're adding to radio history, which I never really put together before, but that's very true. It sounds like a very proper transition between Silver and Black Beauty and Brett Reed and Dan Reed.
Yeah. And you of course, you remember Kato, his faithful Japanese butler.
Valet,
right. And he suddenly changed nationalities along about 1941, December 7th, didn't he? What happened there?
Well, he was Japanese before then, and we didn't feel that it would... most of the listeners would appreciate that. So at that point, he was he was from the Philippines.
He was still faithful,
Japan.
Though.
Still faithful.
All right. Let's listen to an excerpt from The Green Hornet featuring one of the guests who will be at your convention. I'm talking about Jack McCarthy.
Aboard the eastbound transport plane.
I hope the next time they hold a newspaper convention, it'll be a little nearer home.
At any rate, Britt, we're lucky to have been on the same plane. Hope you got as much out of your convention as I got out of my trip to Chicago.
Oh, this reminds me, Conway, why did you go to Chicago?
Why?
Well, when James Conway, a one-man grand jury investigating graft, leaves for an airplane trip, that's news.
That's what I'm afraid of. I'd as soon rather not have it known that I went to Chicago.
Oh?
Hope you won't publicize it.
The simplest way to keep things out of the paper, Conway, is to confide in a newspaper man. If he thinks you're trying to hide something and put one over on him, he'll get answers and publish them.
Frankly, then, I went there in connection with the graft problem.
I assumed as much.
There were a couple of men doing a term in Joliet. I had enough on them to make sure of another rap when they finished this one. So they were glad to talk to me.
You wouldn't resort to blackmail to get facts, would you?
Britt, in smashing this graft ring, I'd resort to practically anything.
Bad as that?
Worse than anyone realizes. Right here in this briefcase, I hold the data that will smash this ring.
How about some advance information?
Well, I might make a deal with you.
Eh?
You want information to get what you call a scoop for your paper.
I'd like to have the Daily Sentinel be the first to announce what you will reveal.
And you'll have your scoop, if...
What's the if, Conway?
If you let me have everything in your possession pertaining to the Green Hornet.
What?
The Green Hornet.
But... Conway, what makes you think the Daily Sentinel has anything about him?
Perhaps you haven't. In that case, I'll get the worst of the bargain. On the other hand, perhaps you have. I'll have to rely entirely on your word of honor.
I see.
I'll promise you a scoop on my exposé when I'm ready to break it, provided you give me your word of honor to tell me all you know about the Green Hornet.
Well, my word of honor,
eh? Precisely.
Let me think this proposition over, Conway.
What? Think it over? Then you do know more about it than the police have announced.
I'm not committing myself just yet. And by the way, I must send a radiogram to the paper to have my valet meet me at the field.
Well, that won't be necessary. My daughter Polly will be there.
Oh, but I don't want...
She'll have her car to meet me. We can drop you any place you say.
Well, if it won't put you out, you can drop me at my office.
Not at all, Reed. Glad to.
Meanwhile, at the airport, Ed Lowry of the Sentinel approached a sport roadster.
Say, you're Polly Conway, right?
Why, yes.
My name's Lowry of the Sentinel. Waiting for the Chicago plane?
Yes.
By any chance, are you waiting for your father?
How did you know who I was?
Those low license plates are a dead giveaway, Miss Conway.
Oh.
Heard your old man, your father was digging up some facts in the Midwest.
Well, I'm sure I wouldn't know. How soon is the plane due to land?
Half hour.
Are you here to meet Father, too?
Me? No. No, I'm just here scouting for news. You know, sometimes big names come in on the planes.
Oh.
My boss was in Chicago, too. Wonder if you met your father there.
Mr. Reed?
Yeah, know him?
Indeed, yes, very well.
Say, that's one nasty mess we're having in this town, isn't it, Miss Conway?
Wonder how your father's investigation is going.
I'm sorry, Mr. Lowry. I...
If anyone can smash this graft ring, he's the man to do it.
You really think so?
He's told you about it, of course.
Well, he...
A couple dozen gambling houses running wide open with all kinds of protection. Cheap joints where they let a sucker play for a nickel and others where they let them do anything to limit, win or lose.
Yeah, really, I...
Oh, Miss Conway, he must have mentioned them to you.
Well, if he has, I've paid little attention.
The sheriff of the county attempts a raid once in a while, but there's always a tip-off.
Is there?
Yes. Yet the same sheriff completely smashes the joint to try to open in competition to Deke Slotkin. Say, what's your father said about Deke Slotkin? Now, there's a crook who's in solid. Wonder how much he pays for protection.
If you're trying to get information out of
me... No, where'd you get that idea? I'll bet Deke Slotkin has tried to approach your father, hasn't he?
Miss Conway?
Yes?
Wire just came to the office for you.
Thank you.
From your father?
Oh, really, Mr. Lowry, it's none of your business. Darn.
Bad news?
We missed the plane and we'll have to come by rail. I'm to meet up at the station later.
I'll go with you.
Oh, no, you won't.
Wait, I'll tell you what. Let me check at the office and see the passenger list of that plane.
Goodbye, Mr. Lowry. It's nice to have met you.
Now, lady, wait. Gosh, what a girl.
Oh, why do people have to turn right in the middle of the road? Can't you pull to the side and let me pass?
Just a minute, lady.
Oh, I didn't see. Put that gun down. What does this mean?
Just keep your hands on the steering wheel, Miss Conway. I'm riding with you, and you go where I tell you.
How dare you? Get out of my car. What's
now,
the meaning?
Now, take it easy, and you won't be hurt. Okay, boys, pull to the side and let us by.
You can't get away with this.
Turn left at the next side road.
Why, you...
Do as I say.
Oh, the Green Hornet. Every time I heard that car take off, the chills would run up and down my spine. You know, that actually was a sound effect of a Duesenberg automobile. I don't know if you know that or not, but it was. We have a copy of it here in our library. Well, Jack McCarthy is going to be at the Old Time Radio Convention in Marin this coming Saturday, but in addition, Jackson Beck is going to be there. Now, Jackson Beck has been at many of these conventions, hasn't he, Jay?
He has. The first convention he was at was the second one. He was at the second, the third convention, and now this one.
Obviously, he must enjoy them.
Yes, he does. He usually brings his wife, and they have a very good time.
Yeah. He's very active today.
Yes, he is. He does many commercials. If you listen to a New York station, you'll hear he does commercials for Sunoco, for Subaru, Gillette, and many of them. He's very active in the CBS Radio Mystery Theater today, and he's very active.
Do you find that a lot of these actors do tend to wind up on that CBS Mystery Theater, Ed, at one time or another?
Yes, certainly the ones that we've had, Dick, they do bring in new people occasionally, but the backbone of the show are the old-time, the German actors like Jackson Beck and some of the others, Larry Haynes, Mandel Kramer. And Jackson Beck, of course, did a lot of cartoons, which he told us, I guess, the last time we met, that they have so many of them in the library now, they don't make any new ones. They can recirculate them over years and years because by the time they get around the horn, they have a new generation of children. So that work is kind of petering out. But at one time, he said he was on about 20 different cartoons at one time.
That's incredible. Well, he also was featured in a show from your collection that I've never heard of. It's a very rare program.
Yes, that's Theater 5. This was an effort back, I guess it was in the early 60s or thereabouts, where ABC attempted to, in their own way, revive dramatic radio, and they sent this out over the net, but they didn't play it in their key stations, like it didn't play in New York, where it originated from, strangely
mm-hmm,
enough.
Mm-hmm.
And it was an attempt to, again, do what the CBS Mystery Theater has successfully done, revive an interest in radio. And Jackson Beck appeared on it quite often. And this particular one here I brought is a science fiction one. And his voice, the deep voice, is so outstanding that you'll recognize it immediately when you hear it. You'll know that voice is as familiar as any voice in radio today.
Theater 5. Any idea where the name came from, Jay?
No, yeah.
We'll have to ask him when he... he must know. There must be a reason for it.
Well, I think it was on five nights a week. It had something to do with it. It was a half-hour show, and the local people put their own spots in. I don't believe it was nationally advertised in the same manner that the other shows of that nature have been.
These programs are 20 minutes long, which allows for 10 minutes of other things that the local stations put in.
That makes it rather apparent. Yeah. Jackson Beck in Theater 5.
I can see them now. Faces like gargoyles, and hands and feet.
Claws. They have claws. They're ugly and hideous.
They can see us, too.
We find you Earth people equally repulsive, but we are more tolerant.
Theater 5 presents First Encounter.
Central to Orion 1. Your constant signal still loud and clear, but no voice contact at last three checkpoints. Use auxiliary battery. Come in, Orion 1. Over.
What does he think we've been trying?
Take it easy, Joe. Try again. Margaret, anything on your board?
All systems check. We're transmitting Clay, I'm sure of it.
Okay. Orion 1 to Space Central. I hope you hear this one. Orion 1 in moon orbit. Repeat, in moon orbit. All systems A-OK. Over.
Should be at checkpoint Z. Ready for landing. Space Central to Orion 1. Come in, Orion 1.
Rack it up. Biggest moment in history, and they've blown a tube in their receiver.
Well, the folks on Earth will have to get their news late. On the playback from our tape.
Yeah, at least it's working.
Clay, I just got a strange reading from the nose sensor. Temperature suddenly shot up 400 degrees and then it dropped.
Are you sure? The drop is normal. We're over the dark side of the moon now, but...
That's just it, Clay. The jump in temperature took place as we crossed the temperate zone between the light and dark sides of the moon.
It could mean sudden friction.
Yes, caused by an atmosphere circling the temperate zone of the moon.
Atmosphere? Oh, seems impossible.
Joe, fire the retro rockets. I'm going on manual control.
We're holding at 1/2 mile per second.
Well, that'll keep us from burning up if it is atmosphere.
Air on the moon? Well, that could mean the possibility of life.
Altitude 53 miles, nose temperature now constant at 280 degrees.
Good. Good enough to boil us alive.
Nothing clear on the TV monitor.
More retro, Joe. Just a little.
Velocity slowing, altitude 30 miles.
Look at that monitor.
Cordilleras.
All systems, final check. Space suits first.
Suits fine. Cabin pressure okay.
Stern landing gear extended.
Starting vertical ascent.
Periscope swung to stern. Seems clear below.
Ascent slowing. Free fall starting. 37 miles. 32. 26.
Counterblast.
Amen.
Me too. Okay. Let's get out of these harnesses and put on our weighted boots. If there's atmosphere, there may be wind.
Yes, and with a lesser gravity on the moon, a slight breeze would blow us for miles.
Clay, take a look at this gauge. There's oxygen out there, all right.
But we don't know how much or what else is in the atmosphere until we test it. Till we do, we keep our spacesuit sealed. All right, everybody. Suit up and into the airlock.
An excerpt from Theater 5 starring Jackson Beck, and we'll get back to our guest, Jay Hickerson, here on the Golden Age of Radio right after this.
Been eyeing the good buys on the new 1977 automobiles that are now out? Need some help in cleaning up some personal financial obligations? Whatever the worthwhile reason, stop in and see a loan officer at Farmers and Mechanics Savings Bank or its Cromwell Savings Bank division. There are 6 conveniently located offices to serve you. Cromwell Savings Bank is located at the corner of Main and West Street and at the Cromwell Plaza office next to Kmart. Farmers and Mechanics Savings Bank has four offices to serve you, two in Middletown and branches in Montville and Colchester. Stop in soon. All offices are open Saturday from 9 to noon, except the Farmers and Mechanics Main Street office in Middletown. Convenient one-stop banking, convenient hours, plenty of free, convenient parking. Farmers and Mechanics Savings Bank and Cromwell Savings Bank Division are members FDIC. They look forward to helping you. Once again, Dick Bertel.
Jay Hickerson is our guest today here on the Golden Age of Radio at our new time. And Jay is a collector, along with my colleague, Ed Corcoran. Jay is the editor of Hello Again, the leading monthly newsletter for collectors of old-time radio shows. And Jay is here to promote something which is rather exciting, the 6th Annual Old-Time Radio Convention, which is going to take place this coming Saturday, October 30th, at the Holiday Inn in Meriden, right off I-91. You know, we might talk for just a moment in terms of how one goes about getting tickets, Jay, how you become a part of this convention.
All right, if you want to go for the whole thing, which means coming around 10 o'clock in the morning, and you can wander around, you can see radio-related movies, you can look at all the dealers' tables, there may be something you want to buy, you can just browse and talk with the guests that are there. And in the later afternoon, there'll be a trivia, a panel. There'll be a panel discussion with the guests. You can ask them questions in an informal setting. Hamilton O'Hara will be there. He was a sound man and will give a workshop, a special workshop. And Jim Maloney, who was on radio, I'd say, in the late 50s, will be showing slides of radio personalities. You'll be having this all afternoon. There'll be a cocktail hour and a buffet dinner. And at the dinner, there'll be remarks by the guests, there'll be awards presented, and a radio show performed. If you want to do all this, it would cost $13. If you wanted just to come in the afternoon, it would be $3. Now, if you want to come for the whole thing, it would be wise to let me know. You can send the check to me, Jay Hickerson, at Box C, and then that's in Orange, Connecticut, 06477. You can make the check out to me and mail it to me.
And what's that address again, Jay?
It's Box C, as in Charles, and that's in Orange, 06477.
Sounds like it's going to be a great day, a rather exciting day. Be a lot of people to talk with.
I expect to be there, Dick. You think you're going to be able to make it?
I certainly hope
well,
so. I
would you should like have said that from this top, but we did about 10 times as many people as we're going to expect. If you're going to be there, Dick.
Really?
Certainly. You're the star.
Well, not when it comes to the lineup that you obviously have here. You know, one of the names that you mentioned is Raymond Edward Johnson, whom we had the opportunity of interviewing, Ed, I would say 4 or 5 years ago.
Yes, at one of the conventions itself, and we've been in touch ever since. He now lives in Wallingford, Connecticut. He used to live up in New Hampshire, I believe, so he's very active in these parts, and probably the warmest personality there. He talks to everyone, and the man had a tremendous background in radio. He must have been on hundreds of different shows, starring roles, and probably really the biggest name we have there this year.
Of course, he starred as the host of Inner Sanctum for so many years.
And that show is still, everybody remembers Inner Sanctum, I Love a Mystery, The Shadow, and The Lone Ranger. You know, those four shows, no matter how old you are or how little you know about radio, they always come to the surface. And Inner Sanctum especially is very well remembered.
Mm.
You think so too, Jay?
Yes, when you ask, the general public, you just go up, what do you remember between The Shadow and The Inner Sanctum?
With the squeaking door.
Yeah. Well, obviously, I'm leading up to an excerpt from one of Raymond Edward Johnson's programs, but I'm not leading up to Inner Sanctum. I want you to know that right now. This is a very rare recording that you've come across, Jay. This goes back to September 21st, 1939. What sort of a show is it?
It's a daytime serial, a soap opera called Your Family and Mine, in which Ray Johnson plays the lead. In this particular episode, he's hospitalized. And as I was listening to it, I was wondering whether we were going to hear him at all, because in this particular episode, they don't know whether he's going to be able to talk. He's very, very sick. He's in a coma. They don't know whether he's going to come out of it. But he does talk quite a bit towards the end of the show, so we hear his voice.
That was in his contract, obviously. Yeah. All right, then, Raymond Edward Johnson in an excerpt from Your Family and Mine.
Mm-hmm. Seal Test presents the dramatic serial, Your Family and Mine. Ever since Woody Marshall returned from Paris, blind as a result of an airplane crash, Judy Wilbur has been devoting every waking hour to him.
What did the doctor say, Mum? When did they bring him down from the operating room?
About 10 minutes ago, Judy.
Did the doctor say anything? How'd the operation go?
Well, he said he thought it went rather well. So did Dr. Travers. But, of course, they have no way of knowing, not until they remove the bandages.
Well, when will that be?
They didn't say, dear.
Can we go in, Mother?
As soon as the intern who's in with him says we can. He'll be out in a few minutes.
You better sit down, Judy.
No, I'm all right.
I couldn't get her to walk very far, Mrs. Wilbur.
I know, Steve. Thank you just the same. Mr. Marshall was here up to a few minutes ago. He said he'd be back soon. Oh, Doctor. Doctor, may we go in now?
Yes, but only for a few minutes.
We won't stay long.
Let's go, Mother.
I must warn you, he's still unconscious. You mustn't be alarmed by the things he's saying. He isn't aware of what he's saying.
We understand, Doctor. Thank you very much. You coming, Steve?
Yes, ma'am.
Mums.
Steady, Judy.
Mums, he looks so pale.
That's to be expected, after what he's been through.
He's trying to say something.
Now, the intern warned us.
Judy, I...
He's calling me.
He doesn't know what he's saying. He's still under the anesthetic.
Judy, I can't see you. Judy, come over to the light. I've got to see you. Judy, you're standing in the dark.
Woody,
darling, please.
Look out! Look out! Try to pull her out. She's going into a tailspin. Look out!
He's reliving that plane crash.
No, don't say that. No, anything but that, no. Not my eyes, no.
This is horrible. He's suffering.
No, he isn't, Judy. He doesn't know what he's saying.
Not to be able to see again, I can't bear it.
It's all coming out now.
Judy.
All that grief that was in his heart that he tried to hide from us. He can't hide
Judy.
It now.
We've got to get Judy out of here, Mrs. Wilbur.
Judy.
Yes, I know. Judy, come with us, dear.
Blind. Blind, never again to see a plane, never again to look into people's faces.
Judy. Judy, you've got to come with us, dear.
Judy,
please.
No, not yet, I can't leave him.
But, darling, there's nothing you can do for him now.
Judy, where are you?
He's calling me, Mum.
No, I can't do it. Haven't I given up enough? Do I have to lose her, too?
Oh.
I love her. I won't give her up, I won't.
Mum, darling, the thing he's saying.
Judy, please come with us.
Judy. No, Steve, no, please don't try to spare me. I've got to listen to all this. I've got to hear what he's saying.
Judy, where are you?
I'm here, Woody. I'm here, right here beside you.
Judy, darling.
Please come with us.
Steve, you and Mother go. I'm going to stay here.
Judy. We're not going to leave you here, darling.
I can't go now, Mum.
We promised the intern that we wouldn't stay.
Judy. Oh, if only I could see her. If only I could see her face when she finds out that I'm blind. Is that too much to ask? The plane, she's going into a spin, the plane. Oh, I've got to look into her face. I've got to see what happens to her when she learns the truth.
Thank heaven they didn't see my face.
Judy, you're not going to leave me, are you? Oh, Judy, I'm not going to be a burden, I swear it. Cut the switch, we're falling, cut the switch. Judy, if you don't want to stay, I don't want to keep you. If it's only pity that holds you to me, then I don't want it. I can't bear the thought of you pitying me. No. No, Doctor, no. No. Judy, say you'll stay with me. Say you'll help me rebuild my life. Judy, talk to me. Judy, tell me you'll stay. Judy, where are you? Judy.
Oh, I'll stay, Woody. I'll be with you from now on. I'll never leave you.
Judy.
I'll never leave you.
And so we leave Judy Wilbur, promising to remain loyal to the unconscious Woody. What will happen in the grim days to come? Will Woody recover his sight? Will Judy keep her vow? Tomorrow, Woody recovers consciousness, and the terrible uncertainty that lies before him forces Woody to a new decision about Judy. Be sure to listen for another gripping chapter in the dramatic story of the Wilburs of High Falls. Until then, This is Ford Bond signing off for your family and mine. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Well, that goes back many, many years. Let's see, I'm just thinking, 37 years for that recording. And again, this is obviously one that came out of a vault somewhere, Jay.
Well, this is one of the stations in Washington. This is from a broadcast day. The 24-hour day was put onto tape, was recorded, and was just let out recently. And this particular day is on about five reels of tape, and this mm-hmm. is one of the programs. It's in sequence from 12:01 in the morning to 12 midnight.
Mm-hmm. You're not going to have anyone from NBC there this year? NBC is celebrating its 50th anniversary, as you know.
No, they know about this. As far as I know, nobody from NBC will be there.
Well, that's unfortunate. Well, we're going to be there, and so are many, many other people, along with Jack McCarthy, the Green Hornet, Jackson Beck, who was the Cisco Kid, the announcer on Superman, and who played Jimmy on Superman. A lot of people don't know that. Don McLaughlin, who starred in Counter Spy and many other shows, Hamilton O'Hara, sound effects man for many of the CBS programs, and Evie Juster, who appeared on Let's Pretend, and Amanda of Honeymoon Hill. You can meet them all and talk with them. Again, tickets are available. They're $13. That includes the cost for all the events, including the buffet. Afternoon participation only is $3, and you can send money and make out your checks to Jay Hickerson, Box C, Orange, Connecticut, 06477. And for information, you can call New Haven 795-6261 or 795-3748. 795-6261 or 795-3748. The public is invited. It's going to be held this Saturday, October 30th, at the Holiday Inn in Meriden. That's right off I-91. Jay Hickerson, publisher and editor of Hello Again, the leading monthly newsletter for collectors of old-time radio shows. Thank you very much for being our guest today here on the Golden Age of Radio.
I really enjoyed being here.
And until next time, this is Dick Bertel.
This is Ed Corcoran.
Goodbye for now.
Al Kemp on the air for Griffin.
It's time to shine your shoes anywhere.
The Golden Age of Radio has been brought to you by WTIC and Farmers and Mechanics Savings Bank Division. Hometown friends serving your best banking interests in every way. The Golden Age of Radio was produced by Bob Sherrago and Dick Bertel.
Don't touch that dial. Listen to...
Kraft Foods Company presents Willard Waterman as the Great Gildersleeve.
Texaco service stations and dealers in all our 48 states present for your entertainment Eddie Duchin and his music.